You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Double Impact by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
You know, some people try to make you think God's mad at you. God loves you. His love. His love overtakes him being mad. The Bible talks about his goodness and it talks about his severity. But we know he's more good than he's severe, because his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for life. So God's not mad at you. Even if he gets disappointed, he's not mad at you. He's waiting with arms wide open to say, come on, let's pick up where we left off. I got a plan for your life. Don't you let folks convince you that I don't love you, that because of your lifestyle, what you've done, how long you've done it, or your mind, or how you think, that you don't deserve to be in the house of the Lord. No, in my Father's house are many mansions. I got room for you in this house. Isn't that good to know? Look today and say, God ain't mad at you. God ain't mad at you. I'm sure the prodigal son stayed away too long because he thought his father was going to be mad at him. When he finally decided to come home, he tried to rehearse what he was going to say. Let me see, father, I'm going to say this. And the father started making preparation while he was still on his way. Get the fatted calf ready. Go get the musicians, start playing music. My son who was dead is alive. And the father ran to him. And while his father is holding his, he's hugging him, the boy trying to make his speech. But the father was too busy hugging him. He didn't get a chance to practice his speech. Isn't it good to know you don't have to have it all together for the father to accept you? I don't know who I'm talking to here today. Somebody said to me one time, said, I can't come to church. I said, why? I said, I get high. I said, come on, church, where all the rest of people get high? Oh, come on, y'all. I'm still messed up. I can't come to church. Well, come on up here, all the rest of us are messed up. Come on, in y'all, you still messed up, at least in some areas. The rest of y'all lying. You're just too ignorant to know you're messed up. I don't know what's worse, to be messed up or be too ignorant to know you're messed up. All of us are messed up in some way. We all need Jesus to fix something. That's why we're here. For God, without you, I'm just messed up. Some of you was all right last Sunday, but somebody messed you up this week. Now you messed up. I was all right, but they got my face. Messed me up. There's another, so we see Andrew was a double impact believer. Because of Andrew, Peter got saved. But there's another one, Philip. John 1:43 tells us that Philip, verse 44, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Jesus sees Philip and tells Philip to follow him. And then John 1:45 says, and Philip found Nathanael. Who have you found since Jesus asked you to follow him? Jesus talks directly to Philip, says, follow me. And then Philip goes to find Nathanael. And said, we found him, the one that Moses talked about, the prophet, did write about. Jesus Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Philip, we know, was also another one of the original 12. Now, Philip ended up being close enough to Jesus to be one of his gatekeepers. There's a gatekeeper. Philip was close to, look at John 12. John 12, verse 20. It says, there came certain Greeks. Greeks weren't Jews. There came certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came to Philip, one of the gatekeepers, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him to say, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip come and tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, they together went to Jesus. So Philip was close enough to be Jesus' gatekeeper. Philip was also close enough to be rebuked by Jesus when he had Jesus show us the Father. See, a lot of y'all want to be close, but you're not willing to be rebuked. Can I tell you, I can't have anybody close to me who I can't rebuke or simply means correct. I don't argue with people. I'm the pastor. I'm the hate thing I see around here. I'm the bitchy above it. No, I ain't going to do all that. Because if you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. Ooh. That's hymn 129. Trying to convince folks to argue who I am. So in John 14, until Philip got close enough to Jesus, okay, he got close enough to Jesus that Jesus is telling them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe me. In my Father's house, many mansion. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then where I go, you can be with me. And John 14 and 18, Philip starts saying, somebody said, we don't know where you're going. And then Philip says in John 14, 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It'll suffice us. And Jesus said, doggone it. God dog it. No, he didn't say that. He just said, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me? When you see the Father, you see me. When you see me, you see the Father. And how you gonna ask me, show us the Father? Now, Philip could have got mad. I don't have nobody to talk to me like that. I don't have to follow you. When you're close, you gotta be willing to be corrected in your thinking. Especially if you're going, watch this. Because as him being one of the original 12, he got to tell folks who Jesus is. He got to get this down pat so he would let them know Jesus was in the Father was in him. He is one. When you receive Jesus, you get the Father. So Jesus has said, you need to understand this. See, there comes a time when God expects us to be further along than we are. The scripture says at the time that you ought to be eating meat, you're still drinking milk. At the time you should be teachers, you got folks need to teach you again. So there is a specific pace that God expects us to be on in our Christian experience and in our discipleship. Amen. You should not be falling over the same thing that used to fall over 5 years ago. You ever hear people say this stuff? You know, we all sin. We all sin every day. Oh, man, what's up with that? Now, when you first come on, at some point, it's just you get to every other day. Every 2 days, every 3 days, once a week, bi-weekly, monthly, quarterly. Come on, truthfully, I'm serious, y'all. You shouldn't be sinning every day. Don't let people tell you that. Come on, you are becoming more proficient in your walk with God. Come on, you used to cuss that heifer out every day. Now that heifer don't get on your nerves the way she used to. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Yes, sir. And you ought to testify. And you need to let her know. Let me tell you something. There's a time I would have cussed you out. But I know I'm saved because I ain't said nothing. You can't tell me I ain't saved. Because you don't know. Look, somebody say, I'm getting better. So in the case of Andrew and Philip, we see two double impact disciples. They were not selfish with their relationship with Jesus. They weren't satisfied with simply having a personal relationship with Jesus. I want to talk a little bit about that because I think we've gone too far in our quest for a personal relationship with Jesus. Because God didn't just save you to have a personal relationship with him. He also saved you to have a corporate relationship with the church. And you're not going to fully benefit from your relationship with Jesus apart from your relationship with the church. Because we are all part of the body. And when Paul talks about the body of Christ, he said there's different members in the body. He said the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. But we're compacted by that which every joint supplies. And so when we all get together, we can have a full body. See, if you're just a hand or you're a foot and you're out here by yourself, you're just creepy. If y'all saw just a hand walk around this pulpit right now, I'm moving my hand, but it's okay because y'all see it's connected with this body. But if y'all saw some of y'all, it'd be like a cartoon. If you see a print right beside the wall, you'd be gone because it's creepy for a hand to be around by itself. It's creepy for a foot to be walking around by itself. We're part of a body. So this personal relationship with Jesus cannot be apart from his body. When God saves you, he connects you with a body. You need to receive something that somebody else already got, and then you need to contribute something for the reason for which God put you in the body. So this whole thing, see, because you cannot and will not have the fullness of a relationship with the Lord apart from his church, the ecclesia, which means those who are called out from the world and called into relationship with the Lord and with one another. We quote it all the time. How many of you heard the prayer of agreement? Matthew 18 and 19 and 20. That if any two of you on earth shall agree as on earth, let me read that again. Again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching, didn't say you have to touch, but as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He said, if you want me to show up, get another Christian with you. You want me to show up, get two other Christians with you. And watch me show up and be in the midst. It ain't guaranteed you're going to be there by yourself. But when you get hooked up with another believer, there's a power that manifests. When the Holy Ghost showed up, the church was together. They didn't go around and have individual feelings. They were together. Acts 2 and 1 says, when the Pentecost fully comes, they were all with one accord in one place. The church also walked in special favor because they were together. Look, somebody say, come together. Right now, over me. I'm sorry, y'all. Jesus, I just got one. They keep coming out. I'm being delivered today. Acts 2:46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singing heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So because they were together, increase was happening. Y'all ever meet these people who talk about, you know, I'm saved, I got a relationship with the Lord, but I don't go to nobody's church. I don't have no pastor. How about this one? I don't believe in organized religion. So what you believe in? Unorganized religion? How that work? We gonna pray when? I don't know, whenever. We unorganized. We don't have rehearsal. What time rehearsal going to be? Well, I don't know, whenever, because we don't believe in organized religion. That means you must believe in unorganized. People who don't have covering and headship, all those people got one thing in common. They're all spooky. They're all crazy. See, how many of y'all know people who always talk to themselves and give answers to themselves, they probably crazy. See, because these people who don't have covering, not in connection with the church, don't have a pastor, aren't accountable to anybody, they talk to themselves all the time. Because all they say is, God told me. Nobody can judge that. It's so unfair for any time you say something, say, well, the Lord told me, even though it don't line up with the word, don't line up with church history, don't line up with anything that Jesus ever did, but the Lord told you. So now, that means everybody else shut up. Because you just talk to yourself. I know she's a prostitute, but you want to marry her? Yeah, I want to marry her. Okay, so I can marry her. You don't have to tie. Tie to whatever you want to be. Okay, because I don't want to give anyway. You know I'm cheap. Yeah, you ain't really cheap. You just like got something to do with your money. Yeah, it's okay. You're just talking to yourself. Nobody can check what you say. What you mean? Say, stop talking to yourself and talk to somebody and give you some answers. When the early church was concerned about threats, they got together. him on the name of Jesus. And the first thing they did, they got together and they prayed. And they said, Lord, behold their threatening. Grant unto us boldness that we keep speaking your word no matter what they say. By stretching forth your hand to heal with signs and wonders can be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken and where they were assembled and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, this is a refilling. Because they were just filled two chapters before. This is a refilling. Listen, even though you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, when we come together in praise and in worship and in prayer, there ought to be many refillings. Came to church, got filled up all over again. I got empowered all over again. I got anointed all over again. I got replenished all over again. So for you to only have a personal relationship with the Lord without concern for others' relationship with the Lord is not even Christian. In Acts 4, 34, and 35, it says the early church, they weren't selfish. Acts 4, 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Nobody lacked anything. Because anybody who had land and houses, they sold them. They brought the pieces, the prices of the things that were sold. They laid them at the apostles' feet. And then they made distribution to every man as he had need. So when God saved you, he had others in mind who will be reached through you. Can I tell you, as much as God loves you, boo, it ain't just about you, boo. When God saves you, he has somebody else in mind. I think I'm going to teach more about this next week, but I was meditating on this. The Bible says, if you get saved and your husband is not saved, God says, it's all right. When I saved you, I had him in mind. He said, because the unbelieving husband is sanctified, set aside, got a special purpose in them because of you. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified because of you. So God said, if you get saved and your husband ain't saved, it's all right. I already got them in mind when I saved you. Oh, come on now. Now you didn't catch it. The scripture says, not only that, he said the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. He said, otherwise your children would be unholy. He said, but now are your children clean. Oh, and your children are sanctified. So, y'all are catching it. So God said, because you saved, they don't even know it yet, but they're already sanctified. Because you saved, I already got a plan for your children. When I save you, you're going to have impact on your husband, on your wife, on your children. There's other folks that's going to get saved because you got saved. Everybody said, I will be a double impact Christian. So when God saved you, he had others in mind who can be reached through you. Paul says it this way, I want to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended. One translation says, I want to possess that for which God possessed me. So when God saved you, he had people in mind who used to get high with. Or still get high with. When God saved you, he had people in mind who used to party with. When God saved you, he had people in mind who used to gangbang with. When God saved you, he had people in mind who used to whatever with. God had them in mind because they're going to see a difference in you. And they're going to say, there is a God. Yes, when I saw you, I said, there is a God. When people see you got saved and they know how much weed you used to smoke, they should say, there is a God. When people see you up here in the church now, and you praising God, and you used to be twerking. You ever look at people and say, there is a God. I didn't turn around because y'all can't handle all that. Y'all can't handle all that. Can't handle all that. There ought to be such a difference in you. Listen to y'all, it ought to be easy to witness to those who knew you because they see what a difference Christ has made in you. Now let me end with this. I want to give y'all a new way to look at the whole resurrection of Lazarus. Because your testimony is to bring people to Jesus just like Lazarus' resurrection did. Now John 11, Mary and Martha, now Mary and Martha sisters, their brother was Lazarus. Bethany was a neighboring town to Jerusalem. And Jesus would on his way to Jerusalem or somewhere, he's in the area, he would always come by Mary and Martha's house. And he would eat in their house and sleep in their house. And they were, you know, they were real close to him. So they were so close that when Lazarus got sick, they just said, call 911, call a doctor. They said, send for Jesus. The word got to Jesus, your friend, not a random person, not a soldier centurion, not a centurion servant. Your friend Lazarus is dead. And Jesus kept on about the business. They said, yeah, all right. And then about 3 days later, Jesus said, let's go wake Lazarus up. The disciples said, what you mean? He said, Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go wake him up. The disciples said, well, why can't wake the man sleep up? It's all right for people to sleep. You know, we're all sleeping. He said, he died, boys. They said, oh, okay. So he gets to Lazarus. He comes as he's getting there. Oh, we get him mixed up. Mary, the first one meets him, Mary or Martha, and she runs up to Jesus. Now, Jesus is her friend. Okay? Jesus is her friend. He's her savior, but he's also a friend. You know, you talk to friends like you don't talk to other people. And she said, let me tell you, Jesus, you have been here. My brother wouldn't have died. And then she got herself together. Oh. Nevertheless, even now I know whatsoever thou ask God, he will give it to you. Jesus said, come on, if you just believe, you're going to see the glory of God. He goes and he sees the other sister, says the same thing. Then he comes to the tomb, the grave of Lazarus, and he tells them, first thing he does, he makes this show in front of everybody. He says, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me always, even as thou hast always heard me. Now, come on, y'all know, Jesus prayed. We ain't never seen him praying like that. He was doing that for the people. He was putting on a show, y'all. And he even said, I know you hear me, but for the sake of these who do not believe, he putting on a show. Then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And good thing he said, Lazarus, come forth. Otherwise, the music would have started. Do-do. This is a thriller. That's why he had to say, Lazarus. Man, it would have been a thriller. That would have been a thriller for real. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, first, Lazarus comes forth. He's wrapped up. Let me back up. They said, Lord, he said, roll the stone away. First thing they said, Lord, by now he's thinking. Hey, Lord, ain't nobody got time to be smelling all that. That's what they say. By now he's thinking. He said, that don't matter. Can I tell you, sometimes before a miracle happens, it stinks real bad. Sometimes before God moves, it stinks real bad. You think it might as well just leave that thing alone. It's so nasty now. It stinks so bad now. There's maggots in it now. There's rigor mortis is set in. There's decay. No, Jesus said, it doesn't matter. I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you die, yet shall you live. Then he calls us, come forth. Then he tells them, loose them and let them go. Which tells us you can be resurrected and still bound. You got saved, but you still got some bondages. Oh, but you keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming. God going to unwrap everything. Oh, the nicotine that got you bound, the sex addiction that got you bound, the alcohol that got you bound. Come on, just keep following Jesus, and he's going to take all the wrapping of death from off of you, and you're going to walk in newness of life. But now, that's the story of Lazarus' resurrection. But let's keep going. Go to chapter 12. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, come to think about it. He raised him up. I don't know if he died because he got sick. But he raised him, but he's going to die again. It ain't like he raised him and then took him to heaven. Why did he raise Lazarus up? What's all this about? Look at John 12, chapter, verse 1.
How often do you share your faith with others? Whether it's a coworker, family member, or a complete stranger, our job is to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known. Dr. Herbert Bailey makes it easy for you to share your beliefs with others. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Harvest Games, a personal evangelism series.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.